You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
So good. So good. Frankie, this town, Christy Simone, Barney Brenner, and you. You're on Wake Up Tucson. If you missed Steve Christie asking good questions of Frank Knott of the Mosaic Cafe and that he's only going to charge the U of A $750,000 a year for 18 home games for the Ice Cats, where it looks like the if it wasn't waived, the Roadrunners would pay $180,000 for 36 games at the TCC. Oh, and this thing doesn't break ground till 2027, I think, first phase. It's a winner. It's going to be a winner. The U.S., the Tucson Chamber of Commerce and the Hispanic Chamber all love it, so I know it's going to be a winner. Good.
For Frank.
What could the Sun Corridor, what dead plant should they send to Elon Musk to get to come to Tucson? Because what I would send him is, if you really want what Tucson's about, you send him a creosote bush that has a plastic bag stuck in it. That's what I would send Elon Musk. So this is SpaceX and X. He says he's pulling them all out of California and moving them to Texas.
Yeah, so they're driving through Arizona, but they're not going to stop here.
Well, you know, we are the space capital of the Southwest, according to bearded wonder. So we'll get to that. Also, just real quick, our friends at Gap Ministries got pounded by that storm. Barney got pounded by that storm.
We did.
He showed me his backyard pictures. It looks like something from the movie Twister.
It's true. About half of my neighbor's back porch ended up in our backyard.
Yep.
Including a 6x12 beam, about a 14-footer, probably weighs about 160 pounds. It would have had to fly through the air 100 feet.
My Lord.
Together with all kinds of roof material of this porch, crashed through our back wall, damaged about 40 feet of our backyard wall, slump block, and then took out the corner column from our porch.
Holy crap.
It is a shot out of the movie Twister is an appropriate description.
That is horrific. And remember, this is your chance, 525-2555, Blueprint Home Services, for fixing a roof and other things like that. They're a sponsor. I got to give them a little love, especially more appropriately now than ever. So Gap Ministries, our friends at Gap, they got pounded by this storm. Let's see. Let me get to the story here. Here we go. No, that's Bob Menendez Gold. There we go. Ripped off roof, shattered skylights, and cracks in the walls at Gap Ministries. Their spokesperson was someone named T. Ann Kennedy. I think I know her. I think we know her. The first thought we all had was, now is this going to take up all our time and effort to take care of? The storm is slowly progressing, slowed the progress on their still under construction kitchen. Which, of course, this is something that Chef John Hone's been working on for a couple of years now. And we're supposed to have that kitchen up by the 25th anniversary, which is in November. But our contractor guarantees he can do it in 3 months. We'll see. So anyway, gapmin.com, if you can see how you can help these good people. We love what they do. They've been a valuable partner. And being at Prince and I-10 puts them right in the heart of the battle of the poverty in Tucson, and then, of course, foster kids. So gapmin.com. Me speak good. So
This looks like this was the heart of the storm. They're kind of in our neighborhood. We're up at the next exit past Prince.
On the other side of the interstate.
Yeah.
Yep. And where your house is, that's a very exposed hill where you're on there. So
true.
That's another reason. Just altogether, it was the, I can't believe I'm going to say this, perfect storm. So now let's do this. We're going to go to break, and we're playing classic country tunes today based on just me picking some stuff out of the basket. Remember, happy hour tonight at Games and Gadgets, Tucson Mall, second floor, Short Rest Tavern. Some of you asked me if is it mandatory to participate in the trivia. It is not. But you should. Don't be a stick in the mud. So anyway, that's going on tonight. Happy hour at Tucson Games and Gadgets, trivia night. Should be very, very fun. So the answer to the trivia question that I asked Barney, and who did the interview with Christy Simone with Donald Trump in 2012? So it was not Joe Higgins. It was not Sean McCluskey. It was Rick Sturtz. Rick Sturtz was filling in for Joe that day. And so if you go to our YouTube page, we do have that interview, and you can hear that it's me and Rick Sturtz. I don't know if that was the day we did Yes versus Rolling Stones dueling bumper tunes that day, but Yes is better. Anyway, let's go to break, and when we come back, Matt, we're going to play the video of the – it's that classic classic voter in the Milwaukee diner during the RNC on why she's voting for Trump, and I think she's a Democrat. And it's one of those things that if the RNC – doesn't take this and play it over and over again as part of their marketing push, they're fools. So Dennis Prager once said there's a evil party and a dumb party. Guess which one the Republicans is. They're pretty dumb. We'll get it one of these days. Just keep practicing. All right, here we go. Streets of Bakersfield. Little Buck Owens. Wake up, Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. Oh, that's beautiful. Charlie Walker praying for those grapes in California. Make sure they're big and bountiful and ferment beautifully. Little Old Wine Drinker by Charlie Walker, promoting alcoholism all over America. So Grant Kruger's coming up at the top of the hour. He's got John Backer, aforementioned, running against, he's in a primary with Corey Stevens, and he's running for Pima County Board of Supes. And so they'll be on together in the Jump in Tucson hour. And then we have, we just learned that Matt Hines got locked out of the Pima County Board of Supes meeting by Dan Shearer from the Green Valley News, which is Trey Sheik, I think. So between that and Bikini Boy, that tells you everything you need to know about how much Matt. Oh, and eating the bagel in the back. So we got the picture of him eating the bagel, Bikini Boy, and that. That's like the unholy trinity of Matt Hines's. Supervisoral term. Matt, can we go to that nice lady who's drinking coffee in the great state of Milwaukee, as our good friend Alice Cooper said in the Wayne's World movie. So this was a this nice lady. Again, it's that classic where, you know, they go to the diner in a place and ask her. And she just, I'm going to let her explain this, basically why she's voting Trump. So, Matt, let's do it.
Why would you be supporting Donald Trump?
For change. Mm. We've had Democratic control in Milwaukee for the last 65 years, and we haven't gotten anything. Mm. And so it's like you can't keep doing the same thing and expecting different results. We have to do something different.
Again. This, I'm telling you, this brief thing, and there's more of those out there. This is an African-American voter in Milwaukee who's a Democrat saying that they've got to get rid of the Democrat control of what's going on. This lady should be the poster child, one of the poster children of a RNC pro-Trump campaign commercial, right? That's where we're at. That's what needs to happen. You know, I know Trump loves to show pictures of himself, and that needs to be kind of part of it. Don't get me wrong. But you need to find all of these voices out there on why, right? And Barney, we know that so far the guests at the RNC have been probably the most varied we've seen in a long time.
And the most working class.
Yep. Instead of having, who did he have on last time? He had like Scott Baio or one of those cheesy actors. Who was it again? Baio or Stamos? Maybe it was Stamos was one of the speakers at the RNC 4 years ago. And you're just like, what the hell are we doing? Right? So what do you think of having the Teamsters?
Yeah, I was just thinking that. Unprecedented.
Right.
And the guy made mention that it's unprecedented, but that's going to sway a lot of people, or at least get a lot of people thinking. And if you want to count up not only votes, but half votes, if you get people that would have voted for the left that don't vote, they don't want to vote for a Republican, but they leave their ballot blank, that's a half a vote in the right direction.
Right.
So that's going to be huge.
So what I think, which is interesting, is the MAGA pure folks that are there, especially, you could see that they were, some of them were kind of, you could tell, like when the Teamster guy was speaking, you could kind of tell there was some clapping. And then, you know, was it, but I think it's the idea that maybe Trump's figuring it out. Hopefully you work smarter and not dumber as time goes on.
There's a lot of sign of that.
Right. So, of course, endorsing Juan over the shallow Kathleen Wynne, right, who is praying for that endorsement. That is him saying, I need to win congressional races so I have majorities to get something actually done other than executive orders. Right? Right?
Right,
I mean, this,
sure,
this is a sign of maturity, hopefully, and how he runs, he acts as the president of the United States.
And there's going to be all sorts of opportunity. After all the primaries, I see him showing up in districts all over the place, because he's never been shy about traveling, stump speeches, rallies, really active, as opposed to, you know, in the last election, why a lot of people think no way Biden won. Biden's in his basement. There was a rally in Phoenix, or an appearance in Phoenix, before the election, and Biden was there, and they had news people on the street. Nobody showed up, not even a curious onlooker, while Trump had tens of thousands of people at every one of his rallies. So did Biden get 81 million votes? I don't see how it's possible.
So here's the other thing. So then he has this Amber Rose lady speak on Monday, and she is some sort of rapper. She got zillions of followers on her social media. She is vocally pro-abortion and pro-LGBTQ+. Okay? And she got out there and talked about, she actually literally talked about inflation. Inflation's out of control. She talked about how the media has treated Donald Trump. She said, the first person I know who supported Donald Trump, she's African-American, was my father. I was shocked. My entire family is racially diverse. I believe the left-wing propaganda that Trump was a racist. My father said, no, he's not. And while I insisted, he said, prove it. He said, prove it. So she did her own research, watching allies, meeting more Trump supporters. She now advises individuals do the same. She's found her place among Trump supporters. Quote, I realize Donald Trump and his supporters don't care if you're black, white, gay, or straight. It's all love, unquote. The only thing Republicans can't stand, they love black people, white people, gay. They just can't stand other Republicans. Well, we'll get there.
Oh, that is a good line.
It's kind of true. So Van Jones on CNN said that speech was one of the most dangerous speeches at the RNC for the Democrat Party.
Yep. And how much did the media expose that speech?
Not much. So again, but it's back to the RNC and Trump.
Yeah, it's their job to
amplify and make it happen, right? He literally said that it's the most dangerous for Democrats. He goes, that was the most dangerous speech for the Democratic coalition. That is a young woman of color. She's describing her a lot of experience that a lot of people have, feeling that maybe if you're around too many liberals, you might get criticized too much, or you might not be able to speak your mind. And she spoke to it really well. So the extent that these guys are, that the Republicans are trying to bust up our coalition, the Amber Rose speech was a bunker buster right there.
And speaking of which.
Oh, that's true. Let's go to Bunker online. After I said the word bunker buster. Bunker. Buongiorno.
Buongiorno. Hey, you know, I'm glad you brought up Amber Rose. I watched the proceedings just last night, and one of the things that, for the first time, it jumped out at me, and, you know, all of the talk about, you know, the inclusion of everybody, they had every category, race, ethnic, you know, whatever, and it's like, in a lot of America first. But I didn't hear one person at any time when they were talking about the conglomerate of people mention the first Americans. Both parties have been ignoring the Native American vote. And in Arizona, especially up in the north, that's a key segment. And they have been voting solid Democrat for forever. And that vote, that can make a swing here in Arizona. It can make a difference.
So the Navajo Nation, especially so where, you know, Eli Crane's running for re-election, that's critical place to, you know, if, you know, if you're not going to win it, at least minimize the damage that that it can do to a Republican's vote count. So,
yeah. And I think especially here in Arizona, our politicians need to be talking about the first Americans, because they're part of our history, our heritage, and they're an attraction for people coming from the east, the west, the north. They
so
want to see the Navajo.
I feel like I remember the president of the Navajo Nation spoke at the convention 4 years ago, or someone very high up. So maybe we'll give him another day or two. Let's see what happens. Bunker, we're going out with Yakety Axe for you. How can we not make that more perfect?
Don't talk back.
Later, buddy. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. Christopher DeSimone and Matthew D. Neely and Barney Brenner is here. Welcome back to all of you. Tonight is our happy hour at Games and Gadgets. Please join us, Short Rest Tavern, second floor of Tucson Mall near the Dead Sears. Park on the north side of the building, walking through the big glass doors, and just walk straight. You'll see a big yellow sign. And they have beer, wine, soft drinks, snacks, and we have our own room to ourselves where we're going to do some trivia and have a little fun. So please join us. And then remember, August 17th, Southern Arizona Honor Flight fundraiser at Westward Look. So let's go to the phones. Let's go to James on line two. James wants to talk about the Teamsters. James, you're on with Barney and Chris. What's up, bud?
So regarding the Teamster speaker O'Brien, that really wasn't any substance to the audience. That was more of demands from the Teamsters. And I understand that he wasn't there to endorse Trump. But let me give you a little background. I'm not a Teamster now, but I was a Teamster. And he referenced the United Parcel Service. I started as a loader while going to college in Anaheim, California. And I was a Teamster. And what I discovered with the Teamsters was that the leadership, and I'm talking not at the O'Brien level, but at the shop steward level, if you ask them why were they a shop steward, it was because they hated their job. They were, the United Parcel Service paid them to go do official union business. So they really were shop stewards for that reason. They weren't shop stewards because they thought the union empowered the workers or whatever. So this is going back 25, 30 years now. But my experience with the Teamsters are that if you get down and work with the Teamsters, they're generally, I would say, conservative, like Trump-type people. And they really don't agree with a lot what the leadership does with their union dues, etc. I don't know about this O'Brien guy, but my experience literally from the shop steward all the way up to the top was that they really don't have a lot of intellect, if you will, when it comes to negotiation. Like when United Parcel Service went on strike, they came to the bargaining table with spreadsheets, you know, the cost of living increases that the drivers and workers had been given. And when the union came to that bargaining table, they didn't have none of that. They said, we're going to strike, we're going to show you. You know, that is my experience with the Teamsters. So, you know, I don't know what he's talking about, like, you know, they make America work and all this other stuff. You know, they're no different than a guy that goes out in a plumbing truck.
So James, I guess the question is, Was it a good thing for Trump and the Republicans and elections to have this guy speak at the RNC?
In the end, I would say yes, but I'm keep going back. What value did he present? He didn't say, men and women of the Teamsters, Trump is behind you. It's more like, I'm not here. You know, I want to put my toe in the pool, but it's too cold. It's too hot.
Baby steps, as Dr. Leo Marvin once said in What About Bob, right? Is he basically said that they're not slaves to the Democrat Party publicly on international television.
Yeah, just his presence, that alone is huge.
Right, and there's lots of union members out there, whether they're Teamsters or not, that the Teamsters are one of the best known, national unions out there, and so maybe that will change a few of their minds not to just vote like a zombie for these. That would be my take. Does that sound reasonable?
It sounds reasonable, but just one final point.
Yes, sir.
What I read, the only reason that he came to speak there was because when Yellow Freight, which he referenced during his speech, went bankrupt, he requested a meeting with Biden and whoever his labor secretary is to talk about the bankruptcy, and they turned him down. So he got a pebble in his shoe over that. And if they would have met with him over the Union Freight bankruptcy, he wouldn't have been there. I don't know that for a fact, but that's my opinion.
Department of Labor is Julie Sue. Very well known. I don't even know who she is. I never even seen her. It's amazing. All right, James, I got to get to Jim, believe it or not. So have a good day. Thanks for the call, my friend.
Okay.
Hey, let's go to Jim on line three. Jim, you're on with Chris and Barney. What's up, buddy?
Hey, bringing up the assassination attempt again.
Yes, sir.
About that sloped roof. Apparently the latest excuse was somebody was assigned to be there. I'm thinking they pulled a Matt Hines. They were at the door of the building trying to get in with their bagel in hand and never got in. Seems to be to tie it all together.
I see you trying to connect those dots, so I appreciate it.
But just amazing is someone's supposed to be assigned and they don't show up and they can't figure that out. Suppose if that's the deal, I could sort of believe that, you know, agencies like that or some whatever, whoever's supposed to be there.
So
on the other end,
yes, sir.
Picking on Gallego and even Senator Kelly, is where are they in getting Biden out, even though Biden, you know, that only helps Trump staying in. But I haven't heard Gallego or Kelly, just only Grijalva, you know, Raul Grijalva saying for him to step down. Where are these guys? They're supposed to be tough guys. Where are they? They're not anywhere asking for Biden to step down.
I was going
to
say, what part of the last 20 years of Ruben Gallego and Mark Kelly are indicating toughness?
Yeah, I know. They just do whatever they're told all the time and trying to get something for themselves out of the deal. But that's just also for both of them, being veterans, I'm a veteran, is when, you know, Biden claims that his son Bo died in Iraq. Several times he made that statement, which is a lie. His son Bo died from brain cancer. They don't know where he got it. You know, he was in the judge advocate general thing for the Navy. That's, you know, it's like
now, Jim, I see where you're going with this, but just do me one favor. Don't tell me that Biden's uncle being eaten by cannibals was a false story. I'm not taking that crap.
That story or that no military members died during Biden's term. You know, it was 18. 13 Marines in one day withdrawal from Afghanistan. And where's, you know, Senator Kelly or Congressman Gallego? Yep. Nowhere to be heard of, nowhere to be seen, never calling into question any of this. Purely pathetic. Those guys are gutless. So,
well, I'm not gonna argue with on the gutless thing. So appreciate the call as always. Have a good day, sir.
You too.
790-2040 is the phone number. You know, I thought about this. So here's Mark Kelly. Who supposedly, I'm doing the air quotes for the three of us, lives in Tucson. Right? You ever notice that no one ever sees Mark Kelly publicly in Tucson? Right? So he showed up for the Democrat office opening, I think, when they did that, right? But and then he showed up for the horse crap, Buttigieg, Romero, here's some money to throw at this stupid 22nd Street Bridge, which is a train wreck, right? But you ever notice that Juan Ciscomani is everywhere, right? Ciscomani is everywhere, and no one, you can't even see these other people. Not even close, right? I mean, Mark Kelly, I don't know if you live in Houston, Scottsdale, I don't know where you're at, but I know it's not Phoenix. It's not Tucson. All right, let's go to break. 8:43 in the morning. We're hanging out with Barney Brenner. Grant Kruger's coming up at the top of the hour. He's got John Backer running for Pima County Board of Supervisors. As you could possibly guess, the Matt Hines being locked out of the Board of Supervisors picture is getting nice traction. That's all I'll tell you. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. Look at you. Burt Jones calling an audible. Nice job. Oof, little Del Reeves. What's the name of this song?
Girl on the Billboard.
What is it again?
Girl on the Billboard.
Oh, there's Kruger. Well, you come on in if you want. Everyone's here. Backer's hanging out. We don't have any audio excellence on this show. Everyone, come on in. Bring a damn beer if you want. We're okay with that.
The Sonic Integrity.
Don't bring a beer. Bring four of them.
Matt Neely's right. We do not have any Sonic Integrity at Wake Up Tucson.
Radio in name only.
Radio. Oh, my God. How did we only come up with that now for my Rhino Tribune? I'm the radio in name only. Well played. Well played, Matt Neely. It's our new promo.
A ding on that one.
John Backer's here. Grant Kruger's here.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Barney Brenner back as part of Radio in Name Only. I love it. Why now? Why did it only come up now? What are we doing? What the hell are we doing on this show?
Well, you got to give him that credit. He comes up with winners on a regular basis, pulling them out of the air.
True. Pio Nuevo for...
Yep.
Kruger, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great. Excited to be here with you this morning.
Who's on the show today?
I've got Mr. Backer to my right. He's here early, punctual, right? Part of winning in politics is showing up, and Mr. Backer is proving that he is, in fact, showing up. He was not locked out of the front door.
You beat
knocking.
Me to it.
Yep.
Have you seen the picture?
I have seen that picture.
It's so hot. It's so good. It's... So Backer, you said you put something up on your social media, and you had a nice little pithy line, I thought, on this.
I shared your image of the Supervisor Hines, and I said now he knows what it's like not to be heard.
Yeah, love it. Very cute. Love it. What's going on in the state? You're going to talk about the state of restaurants today, right?
Yeah, all kinds of things. I mean, it's summertime. We had that big storm, knocked out power for over 30,000 Tucsonans at about 1,000 restaurants or so. We got the privilege of shutting down all of Sunday night at about 6:14, rather abruptly.
Yeesh.
Yeah,
can't sell any well vodka if everything's shut off.
No, it was a big setback, I think, for everybody over there. I mean, fortunately, nobody was seriously hurt, but there was so many trees and so much power outages across the board. That's game over for a restaurant when you don't have power for a couple hours.
I forgot to say this. I don't know if you said it last week or the week before. You had a line that was so beautiful about restaurant business in Tucson. I believed you call it the Ramadan of dining.
Yes, very much so. The Tucson's Ramadan, which is essentially the week of 4th of July, you know, because that 7 to 10 days, you know, just isn't a major exodus of Tucson residents. And so it's pretty much one of the slowest weeks of the entire year.
And then also during Ramadan, if you're observing, you're not supposed to be eating between sunrise and sunset.
Very much so.
Which is perfect for Tucson.
And I can assure you that our sales accurately reflect that statement, sir.
I love it.
No, but it's honestly going to be a good couple weeks coming up over here. U of A is getting back in session in just the next couple of weeks. All the parents come back into town.
You're
right?
You're now using the proper verbiage now that they're called the U of A. U Arizona has been killed.
I was going to go U Arizona over there, but I decided to take advantage of this new opportunity and use the untrademarked U of A. And so when the parents come back into town, it really brings a nice economic bump for about 2 weeks, sort of an oasis in the desert of summer sales where everyone takes their kids to Target or Costco or brunch and loads them up with things. And the students are also fresh with their parents' money as well, too. They get the money for the entire semester. Here you go. here's a few grand. And of course, they spend it very wisely over the first couple weeks in restaurants and bars like mine.
So a discussion I've had with restaurateurs over the time about summer and when is the summer blahs really over, right?
So truthfully, the summer blahs don't really end until about the second week of October.
That's right.
We get this one little oasis in early August when the aforementioned parents come back. But September historically has been the worst month for the restaurant business.
Yeah,
in all 15 years I've been in business here in Tucson, September, statistically always the worst.
Everyone thinks that when the U of A is back in session, that somehow summer's over in relation to the restaurant world.
Which includes September.
Right. Right. Well, what happens though, guys, is that the parents leave.
Right.
School gets kind of serious, right? All of a sudden, syllabus week is done. You got to crank down and actually show up. And so the students have to batten down the hatches a bit. They've spent all of their semester money in those first couple of weeks at, you know, Gentle Ben's or a club downtown or something like this as well, too. So those parents have left. The students have spent their money. The snowbirds haven't returned yet. It's still hot as Hades in September. And in the hospitality world, nearly every Saturday is marred by a home U of A football game. And those tailgates, as fun as they might be for all of us, aren't exactly a big growth moment for the Tucson restaurant world, yeah, as it puts 60, 70,000 of the most wealthy, influential Tucsonans in a place called Not Our Restaurants.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Hey, while we're doing some crossover food work here, so I have my in-laws got me years ago a Cook's Country magazine subscription, which is the guys that do America's Test Kitchen. And this guy, Brian Roof, who's one of their editors, loves Tucson, right? So he's already been here a couple of times, and we were actually on the front cover of Tacos Opson.
Amazing. Look at
Cook's
that.
Country. Totally sexy. And then a really nice spread of Tacos Opson in this beautiful giant magazine that went out to millions of people. So
I love it. Best Mexican food in America, my friend.
It's our low-hanging fruit, my friend. It's our low-hanging fruit. Again, the more that we just got to keep pushing that one. You know, no one knows what a gastronomy is yet.
No, this is true.
It's like an insider thing, right?
But I think that we do have some of the best Mexican food in the United States. And if we take that branding and run with that one, I think Tucson's got a fighting chance there. It rolls off the tongue a little easier than City of Gastronomy.
I'm telling you, I got people asking me, why are you guys so into livers and, duodenums or duodenums or other parts of gastroenterology? I can't even say it today. You know what I mean? They just don't know what we're talking about. Or, you know, they're like, you know, there's no G in astronomy. I've heard that one also. I said, I know. Thanks very much. So, all right. Well, you guys are doing a heck of a job at jumping.
Thanks. We're excited for the show. John's coming up. Going to follow me up over here. We're going to talk a little bit of local politics and how that intersects with the food service and restaurant industry here in Southern Arizona.
Any updates on any of your food legislation stuff out there? Or?
We're still waiting on One Fair Wages signatures to be verified or not by the Secretary of State. I'm already hearing of a pretty massive failure rate on their count that have dropped down their signatures from about 350,000 to more like 320 or so within striking distance of a signature challenge. And so with any luck, the ballot initiative to make Arizona's minimum wage $18 an hour won't even make it to the ballot.
Okay.
That would make us the highest minimum wage in the country, and it would be the highest server wage in the country as well, too.
Wow. Well, which would just make things worse for the clients.
Well, we would just end up with the best Mexican food, you know, ordered through an iPad in America.
Or self-service.
It's true. It's where we're at, right? But in the end, They want to push it, not understanding the demographics, right? The next generation of diners that are in their 20s now don't want anything to do with the server. In the end, that's where we're at. They don't care. They don't mind. They like talking in with their friends at a restaurant or a bar, but they're fine going to a place, pick it, or order on their phone, and somehow someone says, you know, it buzzes their phone and they pick it off a shelf. They're fine with that.
Well, the fast food chains are suggesting that sales are actually higher on tablets as well, too, that people are trying to hide their gluttony in some capacity when they have to order through a server. You don't want to order that milkshake or that double-stack chocolate dessert, but the iPad doesn't judge, right? So they're suggesting 10 to 15% higher sales in QSR through an iPad. True story.
Oh, you wait. With AI, they're going to peg you.
They're going to know you're coming already, buddy.
Profile. Oh, here he comes. Let's get two desserts out of him.
It's kind
of
like Hal from 2001, A Space Odyssey. It's like, yes, Dave, I think you need the 40 chicken nuggets, not the 20. You guys have a great show on Jumpin'.
Thank you.
Barney, thank you, buddy.
Always a pleasure, Chris. Thank you.
Neely, you're a badass. That's all I'm going to say. Everyone, Jumpin' Tucson's coming up with Grant and John.